Hello all, and welcome to Awakenings, part of the Converging Flow and the Technology Glitches Flow. Anyway, that was a bit of Liquid Mind, and that was We Hold Peace in Our Hands. And I'm your host, and as I also like to say, co-pilot, Michelle Mache. Welcome, everyone. Had some computer glitches and internet glitches. But what I love, and it would be so great if life did this as well, as soon as I logged in, even though 11 minutes after the hour, the show cue said, the voice came on saying, your show will go live in 5 seconds. And wouldn't it be nice if life waited for you that way as well? So maybe it does on some level, but anyway. Anyway, welcome to the program. Welcome all of you coming in the chat room. Hello, hello, the space of empowerment, that sacred space of empowerment that you're holding. Listen, if you just happen to surf in or tune in to Awakenings, I want to tell you a little bit about the program. Here we host interviews and dialogues with metaphysicians, authors, teachers, spiritualists, artists, people that are all awake or awakening and taking this awakened state into their everyday living. That really is the caveat. So it's people of all walks of life. We've had people in the public sector on the program, musicians, authors, really teachers, and we do actually also panels where we do panel discussions to track the individual and collective awakening that is taking place. And we also serve as a place of support and also to get insight and understanding on your individual awakening and how is your individual shifting connecting to the collective shift, if you will. So we really take a look at all of that in all areas and all walks of life. Also, if you're new and you're in the chat room as a guest, I want to welcome you. Also, welcome all those that are listening via iTunes and live streaming via CosmicDimensions.com as well. And actually, that's being changed to CosmicDimensionsTalk.com, and we rebroadcast there also, and of course, the archives here at and also on iTunes. So welcome to everyone. And if you are a guest and you would like to interact in the chat room, which is great to be able to do that, all you need to do is sign in with your name and email, and it's the bottom of the chat window. And that allows you to ask questions and interact. And I will take questions from texting, email, also our friends on Twitter that are listening, and of course, you can call in at 347-539-5122. That's 347-539-5122. And we have someone back with us, part of the Awakenings family or clan or group. He's been on the program before, and always wonderful to have him on the program. A lot of good insight and information. So we have with us today Jack Ellis, and he's the author and a spiritual teacher. But his latest book is Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessings, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. And Jack delivers a message that is simple but yet profound, echoing the ancient indigenous prophecies from cultures spanning the globe, including the Hopi and the Maya. And he looks at this time as a challenge, but a time for a lot of opportunity. If you'd like to visit him, his website is jackallis.com. That's JACKALLIS.com. And with that, I want to welcome to the program, Jack Ellis. Welcome to the program, Jack.
Michelle Mache. Hello.
Hello.
Got all the technology and all the Twitters and all the Facebooks and all the chat rooms.
Oh,
I don't understand any of it. I have a website and email, and that's about it. I just got on Facebook.
That's about it.
I just got on Facebook for the first time, and it's more than I can handle.
Well, today it was. I can laugh now, but you know, I had to take a deep breath and then say, I need help. Nothing was working. I checked all my internet connections 10 minutes, 15, 20 minutes going, and I'm like, okay, 1 minute, two, a lot can happen in a minute. It's 12 o'clock, 12:05, a lot can happen in 5 minutes, you know. And I don't know, you know, what I took, you know, wires out, replugged into the router and then into the modem, and I was, anyway, doing all this, and you know, here we are.
You know, the one thing, Michelle, people, I think need to be careful of with all this technology, they need to be careful that that they don't allow it to become a distraction, because so many people do. It just becomes kind of a head game, an entertainment kind of head game that really serves the purpose for many people of just distracting them from what's really important in life. When I first went on my Facebook page for the first time and saw what people were doing there, I was really shocked, to tell you the truth. So some of the trivialities that people were spending a lot of time, you know, talking about, and thinking, you know, what a waste. You know, life is, time is precious. Time is important. You know, we need to be doing what's
really
what matters. Rather than people saying things like, you know, I enjoy eating Nabisco cookies. I'm like, who cares? You know, get it together, dude. Do you understand what I'm saying? Technology.
No. But you know, I do enjoy my occasional. I like my skeetball application and my foosball and pool on my iPhone every now and then. I do like that. But I do agree. There are some things that are, you know, but they were there before. You know, a lot. One of my meditation classes we do, and it's in my book too. Unplugging to plug in. And I literally do this meditation where, because people will say how they're addicted to their phone, or, you know, they have to answer it and this and that. And I'm like, well, who is cause here? The phone is not jumping in your lap saying, answer me or text me.
Right. It's what we do.
It's just, right. I mean, it's the codependent, you know, there was other forms of it before the technology, but I think you're right. The technology has allowed people to be a little to a lot more, like you said, distracted and codependent. But they blame the technology. It's not the technology. It's the people. No compute. You know, it's like it's.
When I was growing up, we had television, radio, and telephone, and that was all. You know, when I was growing up, and people, you know, in when I was growing up, people tended to use television in a very distracting way. You know, they just got hooked on it. They would just watch anything, and, you know, rather than living their life, you know, they'd be, you know, sitting in front of the boob tube. And it's kind of the same principle.
Yeah, or Pac-Man.
In how we use it.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, I've done workshops, and people are mad at the phone, mad at the BlackBerry. Look what it, you know, it does to me. It, you know, I have to pick it up, and I'm like, wow. That thing, even if you took the battery off, will not even operate. You know, it's like, we let it ring, and then make them go do meditation while the phone's ringing or they're getting a text, just to look at it, take a breath, focus back on the heart-lung area, just allow, you know. And I tell people, too, that's what voicemail is, answering machine. Let it ring. You have volition over this. Let it go to voicemail. You can ignore the text. You can get it later. But I don't know what this knee-jerk kind of, it's almost like the people become automated. It's like if the text happens or the ring happens, I got to get that. It's like, I got to get that. Instead of letting it just, taking a pause and letting it, you know, just voicemail or text mail, whatever happens with the text. But I love it. I'm a bit of a techie mystic, so I love the technology, but I definitely have no problem unplugging. And maybe that's what happened today. I got so unplugged that my internet got unplugged. It went down or something.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, Jack.
Well, Michelle, I would like to make an announcement here, and that's something that you may be aware of, you may not be aware of, and that is today is a very, very special day. Because I think it's meaningful that it's being honored by my being on your show here. Today, I've kind of designated today with, this is the first interview I've done in a while, and today is kind of the designated, the official launch day of my new book. And your interview is kind of like the official launch interview. And I sent out, I actually got the physical copies of the book about a week ago, and now we're getting everything up on the website and getting everything, you know, ready so that we can go with it. And we are now ready. The website's all updated with the new book, the new DVD, and the newsletter went out with all this stuff on it and all these announcements. And Jack's now on Facebook, blah, blah, blah. And let's kick it all off with Michelle Mache and Awakenings Radio. Here we are.
Wonderful. And tell me, what are the – now, I didn't know about the DVD. I knew that you did the, that you have the book coming out.
Right. Well, it's kind of a companion deal. Same title. And they're kind of a companion. They deal with the same topic, and they kind of deal with it very similarly. Of course, the book is a lot more comprehensive, but so they kind of go hand in hand. And it's basically the same. You know, Michelle, the more I learn about this, about what we're experiencing in our world today with the shift in this incredible age of transmutation that we're living in, the more I learn about. It seems like the less there is to talk about, because this is all.
Mm-hmm.
It all boils down to a few very kind of eternal spiritual principles that are always, like what you said a minute ago about plugging into your heart chakra and plugging into whatever you said a minute ago about focusing in on your breath and where you really need to be. It always comes back to spiritual principles that are very, very, very simple like that. And when people ask me about the shift now. 2 years ago, when I began talking about this, and when my first book came out, I was always very, almost blown away by it. It was, it's just so complicated, and how can I explain this in such a short period of time, because there's so much going on, and we got, the shifting of the poles, and paradigm shifts, and blah, blah, it's just, and I'm getting to the point now where it's really the opposite of that. What really needs to be said here can be said so briefly, so simply, so succinctly. And it always, the real meat and potatoes of it always, comes back to the importance of approaching all this through the eyes of our spirituality and not through the eyes really of anything else. Now, I'm going to give you my latest.
Yes, because I'm going to dive in.
We've
got callers.
Let
me just, before you start, callers, we do see you. We will be taking calls. Again, the number is 347-539-5122. I do see some people in the queue with questions, but we're going to chat, dialogue a little bit, and then we will get to questions. Okay, Jack, I just want to let them know that.
The shift update in, just a couple of sentences, a couple of minutes, is all that really people need to know. Forget about December 21st, 2012. Forget about all the dates. Forget about all the predictions. The thing that really matters here is that we're not talking about a specific date or any specific date. We're talking more about a window of time, and we are in that window of time. The shift is happening. It's happening now. All the ancient indigenous prophecies agreed upon this. And, yes, we have, certainly December 21st, 2012 is a significant date for a lot of reasons, but not for the reason people think it is. They think that something, huge is going to happen on that date and that everything is going to center around that and that's going to be what determines everything. Well, that's really not the way that it works, and virtually all the elders and all the indigenous prophecies agree with that. They all referred to this time of ours or this age of ours, and it was this age of ours which was the age on the 26,000-year wheel or cycle. It was this age of ours in which there would be in which the old world would come to its inevitable end, as all worlds do, as all cycles do. There's a birth and then a process of living, and there's a death, and then there's a regeneration into the next life. And right now we're at that turnover point. We're at the turnover point where one world is coming to an end, and there's a marvelous opportunity to create an entirely new and far, far, far better one. And that's where we're at, and that's really all people need to know. Again, people get all bent out of shape over the predictions and December 21st, 2012, and then they're waiting for something, or they're waiting for something to happen to us, and again, is not the right way to be approaching this. This is not a question of something happening to us. It's a question of us, resonating or participating in, what we have to do in relationship to these things, not only as far as our own personal transformation is concerned, and it all starts there. But also as far as we begin with our own personal transformation, and then we go from there, we kind of move from there into the transformation of our world. And and that's really all that people need to hear. Very sweet, very simple, very, very, very to the point, and it always comes back to us. And the only way we can do these things, the only way we can, we can effectively do the things we're talking about, our personal transformation and transforming our world, is primarily with the tools of our higher consciousness and spirituality. That's the way the whole thing has been set up. That's the way, you know, the divine spirit, you know, designed it to be. We evolve from kind of a lower level of doing things, you know, down here in the material, you know, third dimension, with our emphasis upon matter and stuff and all this heaviness. And we evolve from that point to a place that is lighter and less dense and, you know, more in tune with the light and the energy and the spiritual aspect of things. And that's the direction of the evolution, both for us as individuals as well as for us as a collective. And that's really it. So there's nothing to wait for. There's nothing, not a date to wait for. There's not an event that's going to happen to us. It's a question of us, you know, plugging into this marvelous moment and doing it starting now. There's really, it starts today. It starts in this moment. There's nothing to wait for. And another important thing about this that I believe also most experts on this subject would agree, time is an issue here. We don't have just loads and loads of time.
Yes. You know,
the old paradigm has been
Yes.
The old paradigm has been so abused, and the earth is being so terribly abused, and the earth is beginning to fight back a bit in terms of just not going to put up with it anymore. And we as human beings, you know, if our civilization keeps going in the direction it's going in, we're not going to be able to sustain ourselves anymore, period. It's just that's the direction we're headed in. And we don't have an infinite amount of time in which to do these things. In other words, we need to get serious about it. We need to get serious about it now. We can't think in terms of, oh, you know, we'll take care of that, you know, seven generations down the line, you know. No. Oh, it starts today, and it starts with each and every one of us.
Yeah. I like that you're saying that it starts now. I mean, it's been happening, and also the fact that it's about the personal transformation or personal focus. But I think sometimes people focus very much on the group activity or something happening collectively, forgetting that the collective is made from individuals. So the more that we don't focus on what we need to focus on, that affects the you know, collective outcome as well. Jack, let me ask you.
I believe it starts with us. It starts with us, and then it spreads from there to the collective aspect of it. And it has to start with us. And the reason it starts with us is that if it starts with others, it starts with us plugging into the collective and learning whatever we learn about ourselves from the collective, then we're kind of doing everything in the reverse order. You know, we're learning about ourselves from outside in, and we don't want to do it from outside in. We want to do it from inside out. We want to discover our own, you know, inner truths, and then we want to take those and we want to move those out into the, you know, to the world outside of us, and that's what we want to move into the collective with, is our own inner truths. And then once we get that and move that into the collective, then from that point, you know, that's where real things really begin to flower and happen and those kinds of things.
Where do you think that it came from, this, the waiting for something on a collective or group level always? You know, it seems like that seems to be a piece in human nature that, you know, instead of, as you're saying, that individual transformation, focusing on the individual.
Starting with the group and then going from the group to the individual, you mean? I think that springs, as so many of these things spring from, just like the problems that people have with technology. I think that they spring from the inner need systems of people. And very often if people, I know most of the people that I know, Michelle, are much more outer-centered than they are inner-centered. People are always looking outside of themselves for cues. They're looking outside of themselves for answers. And once they find something that makes sense, then they can incorporate that and they can use it and they can try it and, you know, see how it works and those sort of things. But very often when we do that, that simply is a way of us kind of escaping, if you will, or defending ourselves from looking at ourselves first. And when we embark upon our own personal, you know, personal growth and personal transformation, very often when we look at ourselves, what we begin with is something that can be rather painful. You know, our own personal transformation often, you know, when we have to work through our stuff, you know, the stuff that we learned, you know, in our dysfunctional culture, when we have to work through that stuff, it can be painful. And people can avoid the pain within themselves by, you know, looking outside of themselves. If anything, it hurts less for them to identify with somebody else's pain than it does with their own pain, because they can't feel it as much. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, okay. So it's another distraction, then, in the same way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, it distracts us from the thing that most people are so terrified with, and that's a confrontation with themselves. And that's, mm-hmm. that's where it all begins. It starts with us, and then it moves from us to outside of us.
Always about us on some level, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think it begins with us, and that's where it starts. And once we get that part moving, then we can move to the communal or the external part, the collective part, and that's the way it works.
You know, Tammy in the chat, Sacred Space and Empowerment, is putting it tends to defer our responsibility when we look outside of or instead of inward first. What are your thoughts on that?
Defers
responsibility, yeah.
Exactly. That's the same thing I'm saying, just using a little bit different words. So we
don't
take responsibility. We let somebody else take responsibility, and then we just, you know, either accept that or don't accept that. But it's, you know, it's being initiated outside of us with somebody else rather than with us, you know, doing our own thing. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And Jack, do you think and feel that a part of the shift, because a part of our transformation is for more self-responsibility or accountability? Do you think that's going to be a byproduct, or is that a part of this or a piece of this somehow?
I think it is a fundamentally, crucially important primary part of it, yes. And that's I've devoted huge chunks of my book to just that. Michelle, if one of the great things that is one of the primary reasons why our current old paradigm world is going down the tubes is just that. It is that people have allowed themselves to give up their own personal responsibility for their lives. You know, we live in a system right now where we have a government that endeavors to, quote-unquote, take care of us from cradle to grave. Now, what kind of taking responsibility is that when we have a governmental system that tells us it's their responsibility to take care of us from cradle to grave?
Yeah.
It's completely backwards. And so as soon as people give up their own responsibility, that is akin to giving up the primary source of their power. It's like taking it off of them and putting it off, you know, to someone outside of them to do whatever, you know, they think needs to be done for them. And that's one of the reasons why this current system isn't working. And that's also something that there's a couple of other crucially important parts to taking responsibility. One has to do, if you believe, as I do, and I know it flips a lot of people out when I say this, but I think it's better to say it than not to say it. I am very much of the opinion that our old paradigm world, you know, its days are numbered. This system just simply cannot survive
much longer. Sustain itself any longer,
It is basically unsustainable. And when the old paradigm world, you know, comes down once and for all, I very much believe that at that point, it's incumbent upon us, if we intend to survive as a species and if we intend to create the new world, it's at that point where it's incumbent upon us as individuals and small groups to take responsibility again for the world that we create. And this is not going to be a world where things are done for us, but it's going to be a world where we take responsibility for our own survival, we take responsibility for our own spirituality, and it's not only we as individuals, but we, you know, with our tribes and in our groups and whatever kind of social organizations that we're in. The other thing that's so crucial about taking responsibility is, and I believe, I'm going to make a statement here, and I believe that I'm justified in making it, every spiritual tradition on this planet, both past and present, for as long as we've been here, agrees that taking responsibility, as far as our own spirituality is concerned, as far as our own spiritual ascension is concerned, again, taking responsibility is an absolutely essential feature of our own spiritual ascension or of our own spiritual evolution. In other words, if we let somebody else dictate it for us, we won't genuinely be learning, you know, whatever it is that we need to learn. For example, you know, for me, growing up in the Catholic Church, you know, going to church and having my entire, you know, system of spirituality being dictated to me by the church in terms of, well, this is what you're supposed to believe in, and this is what's right, and this is what's wrong, and this is how you, you know, live as a good Catholic. All of that was completely external to me. And it had nothing to do with who I really was as a person. It had nothing to do with what I really believed in once I got back to the kernel of who I was. And yet, you know, for the first 18 years of my life, that was, you know, that was my compass. That was how I lived. So taking responsibility for our own spirituality and taking responsibility for our own spiritual ascension is also an essential aspect of taking responsibility. It all starts there. Remember one of my favorite expressions, and it's a Christian expression, but it's so true anyway. You know, unfortunately, you know, Jesus Christ really got very, very twisted around in terms of, you know, what the traditional Christian church did to him and did to his teaching. So that the Jesus that we get in the Bible and the Jesus that we get at church, you know, it is a very distorted version of who Jesus really was. At least that's my opinion. But, you know, Jesus said the kingdom of God is within. That's where it begins, and that's where it begins for each and every one of us. And discovering that is what taking responsibility for our spirituality is all about.
Mm-hmm. It's a big... I agree with you also as regards to the government, because I think it made people very complacent, and you didn't have to be a participant in this new paradigm that's being co-created. Is about cooperation, cohesiveness. It is definitely participatory. But it's so ingrained, Jack, in so many people and in the mainstream consciousness or race consciousness to kind of wait. I mean, even people waiting for the date instead of starting now. I've even heard people say, well, just wait. When it gets then, you know, we're all going to have to focus differently. And it's like, no, now. So I don't know, you know, and maybe that's part of the shifting to get people to awaken to, as you're saying, to bring the focus to themselves, but also bring the focus to...
That's part of the awakening, is it not? We are indeed a very brainwashed culture, you know, in terms of, you know, the culture endeavors to brainwash us into you know, seeing the world how they want us to see the world and believing what they tell us about, you know, we're helpless victims and we need the government to take care of us kind of thing. That's what we're brainwashed to believe in this culture. And the brainwashing is, it goes very, very deep. It goes very, very deep. I don't mean to make light of this subject. And I know because I've been brainwashed. I've always been a little bit of a renegade, and I always had my own kind of thinking for myself component. But, you know, I've been there, and I know what that means. And we do tend to be a very brainwashed population. But I think one of the things that's happening now, Michelle, also, is that one of the things that's really triggering the awakening that's happening now is that so many people can see that the system isn't serving them the way the system has pretended to be able to serve them. In other words, the system is saying, we'll do this, we'll do that. And all of a sudden, like particularly with this economic collapse a couple of years ago, you know, people look at that and they can see really clearly that they were lied to. They were lied to by the investment companies. They were lied to by the banks. They were lied to by the government. And all of a sudden, 40% of our money is gone. And people are going, huh? What? You know, everything they've always taught me about economics is just a crock. And when a situation like that is set up, people kind of go, maybe it's not the way they told me it always was. Maybe I need to look somewhere else for my answers. Because, you know, what they've been telling me for 40 years obviously just isn't holding up. And in so many ways, that, you know, the mainstream system isn't holding up. Certainly the mainstream system of care is the same thing. I mean, it's just falling apart. And the population is very sick. And, you know, mainstream medicine is not working with its emphasis upon medication and surgery. People are getting sicker and sicker. So, you know, when you see something not working like that, you can tend to think, well, maybe I should go to a naturopath. Maybe I should go to some other kind of a healer. Or maybe I should just stay home and try to heal myself. You know, back, Michelle, when I was a kid, and I'm 61 years old, and I'm talking back when the medical profession in this country still had some integrity, that was when doctors would make house calls. And I remember so often what the doctors would say in those days when they made their house calls, was they'd say things like, you know, you're stressed out. You need to take vacation. You know, you need to relax. You know, because you're just driving yourself up the wall here. The reason you've got all these symptoms is because you're a nervous wreck. And I'm thinking, wow, how right on that is. I mean, you don't hear that anymore. Not from the medical profession. You know, you hear that you've got a genetic this or genetic that, and here are your pills. So, I don't know how I got off on that tangent, but dealing with the healthcare system and being another aspect.
The healthcare.
of the old paradigm world that just isn't working. So people are kind of forced to look somewhere else for their answers, and in so doing, they begin to wake up to, you know, the truth about health and healing, as opposed to you know, what we're told by the by the mainstream doctors. I'm not a big fan of the mainstream system, Michelle. You can probably
I had a good friend of mine that had some kind of healthcare situation and put it on the form, and now can't. And it's not even a big deal. I mean, it's some, you know, feminine thing. It's nothing, you know, not life threatening or anything. And I said, oh no, I never, you know. Even people using therapists, I'm like, be careful what you put down, because the system, you know, will start categorizing you, and then, you know, it's harder to get certain services. So, but that has to be rerouted. I think that is one focus, isn't that, of this whole, the shift that we're speaking of, is the changes in all systems. I mean, even astrologically, Pluto and Capricorn. So all these systems have to be transformed, as you said earlier, updated or transformed. Do you see that?
Maybe some,
Jack,
of these systems we don't even need.
Ah, I never thought of that.
Some of these we can just throw away. I can think of a couple that we need to throw away. I think we need to throw away the government school system, public schools. I know I'm going to offend a lot of people by saying that, but that's just a bad idea. It has been from the beginning, and it just doesn't work. You know, we can educate our own. What I like to see in that area is I'd like to see, you know, parents starting to take responsibility for educating their own kids again, as in homeschooling. I think that, you know, that's where it's at. And homeschooled kids.
What do you think of?
Homeschooled kids do really, really well for the most part, much, much better, much, much better than the norm, and they end up also being pretty well adjusted emotionally because they've been free. Michelle, I must say the lawnmowers are starting to go here, and if you hear any lawnmowers in my background, let me know. People love to cut and mow their grass in Wisconsin in the summer, and I've got a neighbor who cuts his grass literally every other day, and I'm beginning to hear them hum in the background. So if it becomes distracting, tell me. I may need to shut a window or two here.
Okay.
Let me know.
Okay. Yeah.
The lawnmowers are an ongoing problem for me doing these kinds of interviews. And the music, my neighbor's music, is another issue. If your listeners like Pink Floyd played real loud, you know, stick around. You might be coming. What I would like to see, Michelle, is I would like to see people say, hey, you know, we're better than that. We're more empowered than that. We don't need the government to take care of us. We can take care of ourselves. We can educate our own children. We can take care of our own health care. We can figure out a better way of, you know, we're better off, you know, conducting our own free enterprise, you know, without everything being so regulated. We can take care of ourselves. We're more empowered than that. We're better than that. We're not such helpless victims. And I think when people, across the board, with all these systems, you know, we can do a better job of it ourselves than some governmental system or some entity outside of us, you know, endeavoring to do it for us. And that's what I'm attempting to teach in terms of people getting to the point where they say, hey, you know, we can do this ourselves and we can do a better job, because that's where creating the new paradigm is gonna be built upon a foundation of people who are thinking that way and who really feel that way.
Mm-hmm. Now Terry put up a good saying that in this essence, though, we're all one. So in essence, this us, this our aspects, in the sense of us. Can you speak to that a little bit?
The question is that we are one, and yet
So the we, there really is no us and them. Another big key is the system is us. We've created the system.
Well, I'm not certain what she means. I think I may have a sense of it. In other words, we've created the system, therefore the system
mm-hmm.
is us.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
it's part of us.
I certainly don't feel like I, at this point, have any stake in creating the system, because I've endeavored, I figured out for my own part, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, that I wanted to live my own life and I didn't want the system to live my life for me. And I've endeavored during that period of time to separate myself from the system and to take complete responsibility for my own life. That doesn't mean I'm able to do that in all areas. I'm still, you know, hornswoggled into filing my income taxes, and you know, I'm still, you know, I might be forced to buy health insurance in a couple of years, those sorts of things. So I endeavor to do that as much as I can reasonably do that, and I certainly don't feel like I'm responsible for creating this system because I'm not a part of it anymore. One of the things that always offended me so greatly is when I hear about things like, you know, the war in Iraq, when I hear people say, well, we invaded Iraq, I say, I didn't invade Iraq. You know, George Bush's administration invaded Iraq. And I certainly would think most people would look at it that way rather than thinking, we invaded Iraq. I certainly don't. I didn't. I never supported that. I never invaded Iraq. And if anybody would have asked my opinion, I would have said, no, I think it's a bad idea. So, there is a separation here between, and I believe it begins. If we want to get everything clear and straight, I believe, it, and this is also is what the founders of our great government said. You know, way back when, when it all started 250 years ago, or whatever it was. Their primary objective for this country, and this country no longer lives according to these objectives. But their primary objective for this country was to protect the right of the individual to be free. That was the primary cornerstone that made America the greatest country on earth, you know, for a long, long time. The right of the individual to be free. So you have, a system of individualism, as opposed to a system of what we call collectivism, which is more of like a communistic or a socialistic type system, which says, you know, the group comes first. And, you know, we must do whatever the group dictates that we do. Certainly that's not what Thomas Jefferson and George Washington and all those dudes were all about. You know, they were about protecting the right of the individual to be free and have that be our foundation or our springboard to whatever kind of government that we have. And a government that does, the less the government does, the better, as opposed to a government that assumes all these responsibilities that, you know, people can do quite well themselves. Mm-hmm.
And maybe part of that empowerment is seeing what, you know, we're wanting or we're agreeing to, what that evolution is, that next step, and getting that forward movement into that. In other words, what we want, you know, what do we want to focus on? What do we want to create? What do we want to draw in? How do we want to live? And I think if more people perhaps put the focus on that, then that becomes more into being.
Mm-hmm.
Than even perhaps what's, you know, not working.
Right. And I think the important...
Now, Jack, to go back to your book for a minute, because I love the title, Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing. What do you feel the challenge is, and what is the blessing that is coming through for all of us in this shift?
Well, the challenge is—it's pretty apparent. The challenge is the challenge that we see playing out in our world today. The challenge is the challenge of monumental change. And whenever anything changes this monumentally, and we're talking on every single level, things are changing, things are shifting, on every possible level. And whenever things change this massively, change is always a challenge. And intense change, strong change, is even more of a challenge. And unfortunately, that's one of those things that we've kind of learned to have backwards in our lives. We tend to look upon challenges as bad things, and we kind of think, life is best, you know, when it's lived just real, you know, kind of smoothly, and nothing much ever happens, and we just always, you know, we have enough, and everything's smooth. No, because we get very stagnant. We get very stagnant when life is that way. One of my favorite influences was Don Juan from the Carlos Castaneda books. And Don Juan always told Carlos, he said, the universe is inherently a challenge. The universe inherently endeavors to challenge us as individuals. And it's basically challenging us to expand our awareness. That's one of our fundamental responsibilities as human beings, is to expand our awareness and to expand our spirituality. And if we're not challenged to do that, we simply won't do it. You know, we'll get complacent, we'll get stagnant, we'll just start, you know, following routines and ruts and those sorts of things. So a couple of the other important, just to be more specific about the various challenges we're facing, When we talk about the demise of the old paradigm, certainly that will be a very, very intense challenge for many, many people in terms of, you know, our system of money is in trouble,
right.
And our system of energy is in serious, serious trouble. And so anytime, you know, again, we have to change things like that, again, that is very, very challenging. We're kind of back to square one in many ways as far as figuring out how to do these things differently this time and doing them in a way that will work, you know, the next time around as far as, you know, our systems of money and energy really aren't working very well. Another one of the challenges we need to be aware of is the challenge of the, in addition to paradigm shifts, we also have the challenge of the earth changes that we're currently, you know, in the midst of. And the earth changes are part of the shift, they're part of the prophecies, they're part of this 26,000-year cycle, they're also part of what Mother Earth needs to do to take care of herself at this point. Mother Earth has been very greatly abused for a very, very long time, and she needs to fight back. She needs to protect herself, and that's one of the things that she's doing currently with, you know, increased earthquake and volcano and tsunami and extreme weather kinds of activities. And there's every indication that those things are going to be getting more and more intense, you know, as we continue to move into the shift. Now, I don't say this for the purpose of frightening people, simply for the purpose of pointing out, again, you know, that we can be very challenged by, you know, extreme weather. We can be very challenged by earthquakes and volcanoes and things like that. You know, they tend to disrupt our, you know, our accustomed, you know, flow of things. So, but as far as the blessing part of it is concerned, Michelle, just to get back what I said a second ago, can you forgive me one second here? I hear the lawnmower coming. I want to just take 10 seconds. Hold on.
Now, go ahead. I love it. Now the lawnmower. Okay. So we've had lots of little techie challenges here. That's all good. All wonderful. And thanks, everybody in the chat room. Also, callers will be getting to you. I do see the 84814 number. And also, if you do have questions in the chat room or comments, great. That's okay. And just those for our new listeners that are calling in or coming in the chat right now, we are speaking with Jack Alice, who is an author and spiritual teacher. His latest book is Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. And he also, his previous book was Infinity's Flower, A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages and Infinity's Children. He also has a very popular monthly newsletter, which you can subscribe to by going to jackalice.com, and that's JACKALLIS.com. So just so people have more information to
go to my website and subscribe to my newsletter so you can stay in this loop about what's going on with the shift. And if you do, you'll get a beautiful newsletter today, because today's the day it's coming out, with also some wonderful photos from my Magic Spirit Gallery. I'm quite a photographer, and I like to go out in nature and photograph, you know, flowers and wonderful things from a spiritual kind of auric perspective. And so there's a bunch of that on there too. So and that's free. So just go ahead and subscribe, and you get all kinds of goodies. Let me finish up about challenges, Michelle, if I may.
Yes, okay.
When we look at this, we go, boy, that really sounds like a challenge. You know, we're talking about the old paradigm collapsing. We're talking about this extreme weather. We're talking about shifting from one world to another world. That sounds like a lot of change. That sounds like a lot of challenge. It will be a lot of change. It will be a lot of challenge. But in the context of this, it is also an amazing opportunity. It's a very rare and a very blessed opportunity to create an entirely different world, That's the blessing, and it's all part of the cycle. You know, when you think about the cycle of the seasons, or when you think about the cycle of birth and then life and then death and then regeneration into a new life, you know, most people, when they get to the death part, they think, oh God, you know, it's death and it's over and it's terrible and it's a challenge and it doesn't get much worse than that. But as spiritual people, when we get to the death part, we see death as simply kind of a doorway to a new life.
Mm.
We don't see, you know, something ending here in this world, but we see our spirit moving on to the next world. In that context, one second, what's looked upon as a terrible, you know, disaster, death, is all of a sudden transformed into to, you know, moving to the next world, you know, with the power of your spirit. So we've transformed this challenge, you know, into a blessing. And we will have many challenges in the years ahead. I guarantee it. And they're all going to be along the same lines of what we've talked about already. But within these challenges is also a tremendous opportunity to create an entirely new world. And this is not an opportunity that comes along very often. This is a very, very special and a very, very blessed time that we're living in right now.
Mm. Mm. And, you know, some people have said that this is a time like no other. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's a time like no other, at least not in 26,000 years. So the cycle we're dealing with here is a 26,000-year cycle. And certainly at various points along our current 26,000-year cycle, there have been other times of monumental change. For example, there's very compelling evidence that 13,000 years ago there was a time very similar to the time that we're in now. That is commonly projected as the time that we had of the last great flood, and that was the time that Noah built his ark, and that was the time that, you know, Atlantis, you know, sunk into the ocean, and continents were rearranged, and all kinds of things happened. That's projected to have been around 13,000 years ago. So that doesn't mean that other times of transformation don't come, you know, along this cycle at various intervals. But certainly right now we are at the turnover point of this 26,000-year cycle. So this is a very, you know, people say, oh, you know, well, this kind of stuff happens all the time and we'll get through it and everything's going to return to normal. I can guarantee you that's not the case. That's not the case. We've not been through it before, at least not in 26,000 years, and things are not going to return to normal. Now, a lot of people might really be horrified by that because they want things to return to normal. But normal wasn't working. Not as far as our civilization was concerned. Normal was you know, going down the tubes pretty quick. So, but again, we have here an opportunity this time, you know, to move on to a new world, you know, as opposed to being stuck in the old world. So therein lies the blessing and the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And you've also been working, studying with a teacher of late. You spoke of before. How has that influenced your writings? Is there some things that you have shifted your thought? that's a big question, right?
It made it almost I was learning so many things. I've been learning so many. I am the embodiment of the shift. And I think that it turned out to be one of the real blessings of writing this book is I ended up getting a little bit more autobiographical and relating a lot of the things that were happening in my life because I really am, in very many ways, I'm kind of the embodiment of all this. And things were changing so fast, and I was learning things so quickly, I couldn't even write the book anymore. It's like every day I'd get done writing, and I'd have to update it all because things were changing so fast. So I finally kind of had to incorporate that into the book. And I met my Mayan elder associate. His name is Tata Omeyaka Ehekatl, Eric Gonzalez. And he's founded a group called Earth Peoples United. And I met him when I was about halfway through the book, and it just completely threw the whole thing into a complete state of turmoil in terms of, well, what am I going to write about now, and what about those first four chapters? That's not me anymore. And so it made it really hard to write the book. But I managed to, I wrote the last chapter first, and I did a lot of modifying and things like that. The primary thing that I have learned from Eric and from his Mayan tradition is the critical importance of ceremony as far as practicing our spirituality and as far as enhancing our spirituality. In other words, making our spirituality happen. And I've not only learned it from Eric and from his group and from the Mayan tradition, but I've also learned it. I've learned quite a bit about the Hopi tradition in the last couple of years. Same thing from the Hopi tradition. These were very, very highly evolved, highly ascended spiritual civilizations, spiritual cultures. And these people, the Maya and the Hopi, they took their spirituality very seriously. And that means they didn't just go to church for an hour every Sunday and then, you know, forget about it the rest of the time. They were engaging in vast amounts of ongoing ceremony. And by ceremony, we're talking about fire circle ceremonies, we're talking about pipe smoking ceremonies, sunrise ceremonies, full moon ceremonies, just all prayer ceremonies, just ceremonies are basically ways that we have of connecting with spirit It's any action that we do or any action that we perform for the purpose of connecting us with spirit, you know, with our intent and with our vibration. And the Hopis, for example, Michelle, they have got one of the holiest or most sacred times of their year is right around winter solstice. And they do a thing every year around winter solstice where they go into ceremony literally for 2 weeks, night and day, nonstop. All they're doing is praying, meditating, fasting, going into their kivas, having their fire dances, taking their medicines, 2 weeks nonstop. Then when that's done with, they live their normal life for 2 weeks, get everything done they need to get done, then they go into ceremony for another 2 weeks. Again, nonstop, night and day. There's very little sleep involved here. And then when that's over with, they take another two-week break, and then they go into another 2 weeks of ceremony. So out of 12 weeks, six of it is spent in ceremony. And this is what it takes, you know, to be able to really to kick it to the next level as far as our spirituality is concerned. And not only is it indicative of a way that we can work at it, you know, and it's one thing to call this work, but spiritual ceremony is also just such an uplifting, such a wonderful thing. I mean, I engage in about 2 hours of ceremony every day now. My main one is in the morning, probably for about an hour every morning, where I smoke my pipe and I pray and I sing and chant, and I've got singing bowls and I've got shakers, and, you know, I do the whole thing. I light candles. I do that every morning for an hour. And I don't know what I did before I had this. I mean, I've always done something. I've always had meditations, and I've always had, you know, various kinds of things, you know, that I did to work on my spirituality. But meeting the Mayan elder, Eric, really kind of helped me to learn the meaning of true ceremony and how to practice it in a way that, you know, where it really works and where it really starts to mean something. And that really is the primary thing that I've learned. And I've also learned, interestingly enough, that when I was at one of the sustainable communities that Eric's group called Earth Peoples United are starting two sustainable communities. One is in the mountains of Northern California at a place called Deer Mountain, and another one is in Guatemala on the shores of Lake Atitlan at a little place called Patsiapa. And when I was at Deer Mountain last August, it was right at the moment of our sunrise ceremony where the sun was coming up, I was contacted by my spirit guide, and they identified themselves as the Council of the Grandfathers, and they welcomed me as a member. And the Council of the Grandfathers has been guiding me ever since that time, and I have been very clearly guided to stop talking so much about the shift and to kind of get the word out there more in terms of the practicing of our spirituality part of this whole thing. Kind of like where we started here today, there really isn't that much to talk about. One world's coming to an end, and it's an opportunity for the birth of a new one. That's really all we need to be aware of. And my guidance told me that it's time for me to change my message. The message is less an academic message, and it's more a message of how we can practice our spirituality through ceremony. So another one of the many, many ways that things are really kind of moving along like a freight train for me personally right now. But I can think of nothing else I'd rather be doing.
Well, and I think you find it may be that it's ways that people can tap into this for themselves, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. People oftentimes want to know how they can develop their spirituality. You know, it all sounds good in words, you know, but how do I do it? And this is where the magic of ceremony comes in. Because, you know, think about it for a minute. What is a ceremony? Well, let's just take a simple ceremony. Let's take a ceremony that just consists of a prayer. Well, what is a prayer? A prayer is just nothing other than talking with spirit. And what does what does talking with spirit consist of? What does one say when one talks to spirit? Well, there's invariably two things that we do when we talk to spirit. Thing number one we do is we thank spirit for all the blessings of this world. You know, we express our gratitude. We can't express our gratitude often enough. The other thing that we do when we talk to spirit is we ask for guidance. And we ask for guidance with specific things like, you know, guide me on this path, you know, that I've chosen, and, you know, help me to see where the path is, and, you know, those kinds of things. But when we talk to spirit, it sounds so simple and so self-evident, but it's so important because what we're doing when we do that is we are focusing on spirit with our intent. Kind of like what you said a few minutes ago about reminding people, you know, to get in touch with their breath and to get in touch with their heart chakra. That is something that you are telling people to do with their intent. In other words, I'm noticing I'm totally stressed out. Oh, it's, you know, what's going on? And all of a sudden, a little voice goes off in my head. Oh, what did Michelle Maché say? Oh, yeah, she said, plug into your heart chakra, focus on your breath. You're doing all that with your intent. And it's the same thing with a ceremony. You're basically just stopping the world, and you're making the decision to connect with spirit with your intent. And there's only one way to learn how to do it, and that's to do it. Plain and simple. And if we're not doing it, you know, we can talk about spirituality until we're blue in the face. But if we're not actually doing it, nothing's going to happen. So this is where ceremony is so important. And there can be any number. There's no one kind of ceremony. I make up all my own ceremonies. I have no, you know, it all comes from my heart. It all comes from my spirit. And I'm sure I've learned some things from Eric about, smoking of the sacred pipe. And I've learned certain things about fire circles and about, chanting and things like that. But most of the things I do, the prayers are all make up myself. The chants are all spontaneous. The singing bowls are all spontaneous. And it all comes from within me. And I know that it's viable. You know, no Mayan elder is going to come along and go, oh, boy, that ceremony's bogus. You know, you don't know any of the Mayan stuff. No. It's coming from my heart. Therefore, it's genuine ceremony, and it's real, and it's and yes, it is connected with spirit. So basically, that's the way we make it happen. And if we're not doing things to make that happen, it ain't gonna happen.
So do you think that people have to find their own
absolutely
way of connecting in?
And let me say something for those people who might be listening to what I'm saying and who might feel a little bit lost in relationship to that. Oh, well, he's lucky, you know, he found some Mayan elder. And, you know, Michelle Maché, you know, she's kind of found her way and she knows what she's all about. But, you know, I'm lost. I don't know where to go. I don't know what to do. The most important thing for people to do, you know, when they haven't found whatever it is they're looking for, is to keep looking.
Mm-hmm.
The most important thing that people can do is keep looking. I used to say that to people when I was a psychotherapist, and I tell you, my clients uniformly hated it when I said that to them, because they would always be, oh, you know, nothing's happening, but I just sit home and nothing, you know, this and that, and a bunch of whining. And I would say, well, you got to start exploring your life. And even if you don't know what you're looking for, you've got to get out there and start looking. Just explore.
Right.
Just look. It doesn't matter. But people didn't want to hear that because they wanted, you know, they wanted the answers. They wanted to be told. They wanted to be told what to do. Well, I was telling them what to do. Explore.
Mm-hmm.
Search. Look. And I guarantee you that for any person who feels lost and for any person who, you know, hasn't found what they're looking for, if they conscientiously engage in looking, you know, looking through, you know, go to the health food store, get the spiritual magazines, go through there. Go to the website. Go to Michelle Maché's, you know, whatever workshop. Go to workshops. You know, buy Jack Alice's book. You know, read things. Look for things. Explore. And I guarantee you, whoever conscientiously looks and explores in that way will find whatever it is that they're looking for. They will. It's just a question of, you know, continuing to look, continuing to explore. And to not get discouraged if you don't find it right away. That's so important. It's the most important thing that we can know about life is to enjoy the journey. There are a lot of people who haven't, you know, found whatever it is they're looking for yet. And they get discouraged. They go, well, I don't know what it is. And I'm 50 years old, and I'm getting impatient, and gosh darn it, you know, time is ticking. And I say the most important thing for you to do is enjoy the journey and don't worry about it, because the journey really becomes what matters the most anyway. And Michelle, the most important thing that any of us can ever do, and here's where a lot of the spiritual teachings that I teach all boil down to some really simple and self-evident things. The most important thing that any one of us can do ever as far as pursuing our spirituality is to be very, very aware of, pay attention to, in other words, living our lives with the proper vibration. And for me, it's real specific in terms of what that vibration is. I can tell you exactly what it is. It's living life with a vibration of peacefulness or relaxation. If we're not relaxed, we're swimming against the current. Most important thing is to learn how to relax. It's to learn how to live life with feelings of joy, reverence, gratitude, and trust. And by trust here, I mean trusting our connection with spirit. Trusting that if, we're living our life with the proper vibration, we're keeping our part of the contract, and if we live our life with the proper vibration, the divine spirit is going to take care of us in every conceivable way and will shower us with unimaginable blessings, not only in this world, but in any other world. So living our life with the proper vibration, even if we're completely lost, or even if we don't know what it is that we're being taught at the moment, there's always guidance out there. There are always messages out there. Every day we're just swimming in a sea of omens and messages and guidance. It simply is a question of us plugging into it. And very often I don't know what I'm being taught. I don't know what the message is yet. But the key is not to be discouraged, but just to continue to be open. For example, I'm currently going through a challenge in my own life right now, and I don't understand it yet. I don't understand what's happening. I've got an extremely sore right hip. It just completely went out on me last Sunday, and I'm basically crippled right now. This is the Divine Spirit's way of sending me a message. I don't know what the message is yet. Usually the message, when something like this happens to me, usually the message is slow down, relax, pay attention. You're going too fast. You need to just, spend a whole day lying on your stomach if you need to. Just, stop pushing your... And here, this is at the same time, and I'm coming out with a new book, coming out with a new DVD, fixing all this website, blah, 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 doing a million things, getting all revved up. And on the other hand, my right hip doesn't work, and I can hardly walk. Well, there's a very, very important message there, and I'm just beginning to get a sense of what the message is. And I think it is what I just told you. I think the message is I need to slow down and pay attention to my body and not get quite so revved up over all this. But anyway, there's just a couple of pointers about all this. The messages are always there. The guidance is always there. The omens are always there. It just simply is a question of us reaching out and grabbing onto it. And if we're completely lost, it doesn't matter. Just stay open and keep living with the right vibration and just keep moving through it all. And, if you keep everything in focus as far as all those things are concerned, there's nothing more you can do. Everything's fine.
Mm-hmm. And what about, it's interesting you say about the vibration, can you speak to the people, the types of people that, I would say that... resonate with that vibration that you're speaking of?
With types of people?
Well, yeah. Make sure that you're connecting with people that you really resonate with, right?
Well, yeah, that's always important. It's always important for us to, endeavor to be around people with whom we, share some sense of community and some sense of resonance. Yes, of course. And that can be challenging also. In terms of finding communities and finding groups. I feel very fortunate to have found what I think is my own tribe recently when I discovered Eric's group. And I'm going to Deer Mountain again in about a month for 2 weeks for a ceremonial event and just to work on the community up there. But I feel, Michelle, am somebody, I've always been fiercely individualistic, always been a little bit of a loner, kind of going my own way, thinking my own thoughts, marching to the tune of my own drum. I've never been a group guy. Never really been a community guy, and I usually don't fit into most communities anyway. It just, it just doesn't work for me. But I never let that, I'm okay this way. I'm perfectly fine. I'm perfectly happy. I have a wonderful life, and so I'm not complaining. But I do know that life amounts to more than me just living it individually. I'm always looking for my community, and I think finally at age 61 I found one that really sounds that really feels to me like it's solid and like it's right in terms of not only Eric and his teachings, but he's got quite a growing group also. May I give his website just for people to I'll tell what people want to do. Go to my website, www.jackallis.com, and on my homepage there, if you just scroll down to the bottom of my homepage, I've got a whole section there on Tata Eric and Earth Peoples United, and so you can click over to his site, and he's got a great video. They have a great video on their site regarding all the things that they do, and some wonderful videos of some of the Mayan ceremonies and what they look like, and just how absolutely awesome it all is.
You found found this for you and that it's working. We have some questions in the chat about ritual. So not everyone's aligned to ritual. And I was also putting in the chat room that ritual can be done in different ways. You know, depends on your belief system and, you know, what you're following. Or you can create your own ritual as well.
Yeah, I think it's important that we don't get too overly strict about that in terms of it has to be a certain way. I know when I go to the Mayan ceremonies, for example, most of the Mayan ceremonies are in Mayan. You know, it's in traditional Mayan language. The songs, the chants are all in Mayan. I don't understand a word of it. But it does, that doesn't make any difference whatsoever. I can still chant along. You know, I don't know the words or anything, but I just kind of... And when you have some people chanting along in that way, it kind of adds a nice kind of sort of a three-part harmony to the whole sound of it anyway. I don't know what the words are. It doesn't matter. It's all about the vibration. I don't know what I don't know what half the symbolism is. But again, it's all about the vibration. It's all about the beauty of it. And Eric is also very, very, he's very, very respectful of other people's rituals. This is not a Mayan elder who's all about, you know, the Mayans are the ones, you know, who have the key to the wisdom and everybody else is wrong. No. He has great respect for all of the other indigenous cultures on the planet. And he's always referring to them. He's referring to the Kogi. He's referring to the Tibetans. He's referring to the Native American Indians, to the Hopi. He's always referring to all of them, and they all basically have the same message, you know, and it's so interesting that they all do, because all of these indigenous messages all spring from the same source, basically. They spring from, and the source is a nature. You know, they just get it from the forces of nature. They get it from the world in which they live and from being plugged into the world in which they live. And the most important source of their information is the spirit world.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't sound very academic, and we're probably not going to pass any tests on a college exam saying, you know, my source is the spirit world. But you know, we're talking about a very different paradigm here and a very different way of looking at the world.
Well, I think that is part of the shift on a personal and then collective, as it will reflect to the general populace, is including spirit more in our life and in our undertakings. That, because it is, like Tammy was saying earlier, it is a part of us, you know.
Absolutely.
So I think that is a big, right, that's a big...
With our intent. You know, with our intent, you know, we connect with spirit. In other words, we're going along in our life, living, and all of a sudden, oh, my God, what did I forget? Well, I forgot. You know, I forgot about my connection with spirit. Okay, well, let's intend, you know, to reconnect, and here we go. And whatever I'm doing here, you know, in the third dimension, whatever mundane task I'm involved in with, I will do it, you know, with my connection with spirit intact, which means I'll be doing it, you know, correctly, basically. I'll be doing it with a nice resonance, you know, as opposed to having our connection with spirit kind of factored out of the whole thing. Michelle, that's the primary thing. That's the primary reason why our civilization is not going to make it and cannot possibly make it. The primary mistake that our civilization made was it lost its connection with the rhythm and flow of life, and it lost its connection with spirit. And those things got lost due to the shifting of priorities in the direction of the importance of you know, the material world and you know, all the various aspects of the material world, where the material world became more important, and then spirit began to shrink back into the background, and you know, connecting with the rhythm and flow of Mother Nature began to shift and began to move into the background, and pretty soon we've got a life that's all about matter, but we've lost our connection, and you know, our civilization's falling apart. So that's the connection we need to regain. Regain our connection with spirit and regain our connection with Mother Earth. And that's what these times are calling upon us to do. And there's a wonderful opportunity here to do it, too. This is the one thing that a lot of people don't know about the shift is there is a definite dimensional aspect to the shift. What I mean by that is this is a time where dimensional doorways are opening up that aren't open except on this, at this general part of the 26,000-year phase. In other words, the doorways to the spirit world are opening, and they're opening wider all the time. during, and this is a function of where we are on this 26,000-year cycle. So this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity for us as spiritual people to really, you know, go through that door and, you know, to take it where we need to take it as far as our connection with spirit. This is a wonderfully blessed opportunity we have right now to do it. You often hear people say that the veils are thinning and they can feel the spirit world moving closer. Absolutely. It's happening, and it's a feature of these times that we're in. And they're going to continue to thin, and the spirit world's going to continue to move closer. And it simply is a connection, is a question of us being aware of that and being able to connect with that, to resonate with that, as opposed to, you know, getting afraid of it, and maybe, you know, oh, I don't want to look at that. No. You know, that's scary, or whatever it might be. You know, we need to move right into it, connect with it, blend with it, because that's where it's at.
That's the ascension or sending. We did have a question from Debbie. How does Jack see our existence on Earth changing, or is it very individual?
Well, let me give two answers to this question.
Okay.
Answer number one is, if we are to survive as a species, we're going to have to change. And this is where living differently here on this planet comes into the picture. And this doesn't mean just, you know, becoming a little bit more green and recycling our garbage and driving a hybrid car. No. Those are wonderful things. I do those things. This means we are going to have to change our lifestyle. We are going to have to change our lifestyle so that we regain our connection with being in harmony with nature and being in harmony with Mother Earth. One of the things that this means, in all probability, one of the things this means is we're going to have to get a little bit more primitive. A lot of the technological things that are going on in our world today are the very things that are creating a lot of these imbalances to begin with, and they just simply aren't necessary. When you look at the indigenous people on this planet for thousands and thousands of thousands of years, they were living, you know, 100% sustainably, 100%, you know, in harmony with the earth, 100% in connection with spirit. They never had any of this technological stuff, and they never even thought of it, because so much of it was so contrary to their divine law, which was, you know, the most important thing in their life. In all probability, we may have to get a little bit more primitive. We may have to simplify. Mm-hmm. We may have to minimalize. People don't need so much stuff. People don't need such huge houses. People don't need two cars. People don't need all this. They don't need that much money. In my opinion, one of the things that people learn when they launch on the spiritual path is just that. We learn that we don't need that much.
Yeah.
You know, in order to stay on the path, in order to live a good life here on this planet, we can live very, very minimally in terms of we just use what we need. We don't need to use more than what we need. Use what we need and be real conscientious about, you know, not having more than what we need and not accumulating too much stuff. Live simply, live minimally, and there's a very, very considerable likelihood that we may have to get more primitive. There may also be a very considerable likelihood that we may be forced into living more primitively, because many of the features of the old paradigm world may not be able to sustain themselves very much longer. Like our technological infrastructure can appear to be very, very brittle and very, very vulnerable, and certainly our system of energy is very, very brittle and vulnerable. There's no assurance that those things are going to keep working the way that they are. And if that's the case, we will be in a situation where we will actually be forced to be more primitive. And I say, hallelujah. Bring it on. I'm ready.
Mm-hmm.
I am absolutely ready. I'm ready to live that way, and I'm ready to live in a way that's more ceremonial, that's closer to nature. You heard my opening comment about how flummoxed these days I am about technology. I mean, I'm on the verge of being left behind by technology. I mean, there's just so many things about it I just don't even understand anymore, and really don't choose to dissipate my energy on anymore. I don't need it because it just takes up too much of my precious time and energy, and I can spend that precious time and energy in other ways. The other thing.
Yeah, we have a good point. Monopoly thing in the chat room. It's using technology in a better way. I agree. Technology is here to stay, and it's going to get more, because Aquarius rules computers, and Uranus rules technology, and we're in the age of Aquarius, but it may be our relationship to it, maybe the codependency that people tend to have. By the way, not just technology. I mean, there's to people, to things, to food. I don't look at it as, it's not the food's fault or the technology's fault. I think it's something in mainstream consciousness. And you said it earlier, Jack. You said it's a way of distracting.
There's nothing inherently wrong with technology. It's how we use it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think people need to be, very often people...
I mean, we wouldn't be having this radio interview dialogue.
Right. And this is a wonderful thing to have, too. But as far as technology is concerned, very often when people hear me talking about this, they think that, this means that we're not going to be as advanced or we're against progress or those sorts of things. That's fundamentally not true. It just means that we're not interested in this kind of progress. And what that means is, technology is a wonderful thing, but one of the things about our modern technology, particularly when you look at it in a new paradigm way, when you look at it through new paradigm eyes, our technology in our world today can be looked upon as very crude, very primitive, with all these gadgets and wires and all this hardware and all this stuff.
Well, there's wireless.
Well, yeah,
right?
I know, but understand my point here. And my point here is that about, hundreds of years ago, or 100 years ago, when our technology was being developed, one of the things that our new paradigm science did is it endeavored to factor out a couple of very important variables as far as science and technology were concerned. It couldn't deal with God, couldn't deal with spirituality, because God and any kind of a spirit entity completely, if you included that in their formulations, they couldn't measure anything properly, and everything just got so totally skewed. The other thing that they did is they factored out human consciousness. In other words, when we look at ourselves as scientists, one of the most important variables in any scientific project or any scientific experiment is our consciousness. It's part of the experiment. It's part of what's going on. It's part of our world. And the old paradigm scientists endeavored to factor out consciousness because they needed to factor out consciousness so that they could measure everything properly. I would maintain that our new paradigm technology will be more advanced, and it will include such things as our spirituality and our consciousness. In other words, there'll be a human factor involved in this.
Absolutely.
There will also be things such as organic kinds of higher tech things, such as crystal pyramids. I mean, a crystal pyramid is totally organic. But when you take a crystal,
we're running out of time. Unfortunately, the time is running.
I can just keep going. I can just keep going all day.
We have to have you back, Jack. Anyway, for those that have been listening, our guest has been Jack Allis, author and spiritual teacher. And we've been highlighting his newest book, Prophecy, Challenge, and Blessing, Visions of 2012 and the Shift. And for more information, you can visit his website at jackallis.com. Thank you so much for being on the program, Jack. This is great and always insightful.
Thank you for being such an integral part of my launch.
Oh, I love it. Yes. So when is the book out, actually? Is it today?
It's out. People can I've had my own copies here for a week now, but we're not. What we did today is we actually got everything up on the site, and people can actually go there and buy a book. So it's happening. It's not on Amazon yet. Amazon takes about a month to kick in for a new book. But I almost like it that it's not on Amazon.
Wonderful. Well, thank you again for being with us, and thank you, Awakened listeners, for sharing and participating in the chat room, and those listening later via the archives and iTunes. Thank you also for being a part of Awakenings and co-creating this. Any questions, comments, or guest suggestions, you can email awakenings@selfandlight.com, and the website is selfandlight.com. Peace, and create a great day.
Bye.
Bye.